Well, there's some constant themes, and when a John Clayton's on the show, we want to jump right to them. You follow Seattle pretty closely as well. You watch that Chiefs game, and the horrible mistakes the Chiefs made to keep Seattle in it. Is Seattle basically done for a couple weeks till they get their quarterback back?
No, I don't think so, because they've got the Raiders coming up, and they're kind of a get-well card to a lot of teams. And then it comes down to Seneca Wallace played better than I think anybody expected, driving for three touchdowns. And if he can continue to at least evolve a little bit and they beat the Raiders and get some confidence, and as long as they win the Ram game, then they're pretty well set to be back on the track for about 11 or 12 wins. Now, they'll get Hasselbeck back for the San Francisco game. They only have three games against winning records the rest of the way, so all they have to do is take care of business against the Raiders and then do well against the Rams, and then they're back on pace.
Okay, last question. Speaking of the Raiders, Tom Flores' comment on that wonderful Raiders offense.
Hey, Leonard, the best offensive drive we had all day was when we had back-to-back 15-yard penalties. That was the best offensive drive all day. I mean, I swear, in my 45 years of professional football, I have never seen an offense so inept.
That's a strong statement, John. So the Raiders are finding a way to win, but basically what you're saying is it's just going to be one win here, one win there. They're still a couple years away.
Oh, no question, because now they've got to figure out long-term what to do at the quarterback position, tighten up the offensive line, and you know they've also got to get better play out of the running back, because it seems like in some ways, because of the back injury, they're phasing out Lamont Jordan and going with Justin Fargus, and you know they've now kind of lost their way with the running game. So there's so many things that are wrong with the Raiders that I think it's just going to be a very long season, but at least they've now eliminated the embarrassment that they were going to go with a winless season. I didn't think that was going to happen, but there's not going to be more than a 5-6 win season at best.
Well, you won the Super Bowl for us, buddy, coming through. You kicked a game-winning field goal. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That's John Clayton, and along with people like Chris Mortensen, and coming up in a few minutes, Rick Goslin, people that cover the back side of the NFL, the stories that aren't covered. But, you know, I think one of the stories that keeps being ignored is the fact that Ben Roethlisberger was played as if Charlie Batch has not clearly shown that he can get it done, at least when you think about the balance of playing a Ben Roethlisberger who has demonstrated better than any quarterback since Dan Marino early in his career that he can be truly a championship quarterback. And in reality, Dan Marino never was a championship quarterback. Why would you do it? There is so much evidence that each concussion creates twice the requirement for recovery. And Ben Roethlisberger, I think, you got to give him credit for standing up there, being gutsy enough to play, but I don't understand why Bill Cowher would have played him. I think it's the biggest mistake possible you can make when you risk a player's entire career.
Well, he got the okay from the doctors in Pittsburgh. From what I understand, right there, they have the best concussion doctors in the world in Pittsburgh, not just in Pittsburgh, but in the world. So he got the okay, and he probably wanted to play, but Tom could answer that better than me. I don't know how he's performed. All I can read is the stats, throwing four interceptions, two of them going back for touchdowns. I mean, you can't do that, just period. Giveaway, takeaway ratios, when you're giving the ball away and getting penalized, you're in deep trouble.
You're in deep trouble, but how much of that is that the Pittsburgh Steelers are in deep trouble if they can't have any confidence in a backup quarterback who really did a pretty darn good job in that opening win against the Miami Dolphins? We want to take your call about that. There is a rising tide of emotion and anger that the NFL and Commissioner Tagliabue, who have done for the most part a tremendous job, an incredible job with the NFL, that they would put in the hands the lives and health of the stars of the game, the quarterbacks. Those are the ones that get the concussions the most, whether it's Troy Aikman or Steve Young, who's been on this show recently as well. Why you would put that in the hands of an Elliot Pelman, who I believe his medical degree was not even in the United States. We're joined by Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News. And Rick, you've, I'm sure, followed this among many other things as well, that this committee for the mild traumatic brain injury committee, that it is being run by somebody, Elliot Pelman, who is not held in high respect around the league.
I'm aware of the committee, but no, I'm kind of walking into a firestorm here. What are we talking about?
Well, what we're talking about is my belief as I've looked at the incidents, what this committee is saying, that there's no evidence of an increase in concussions. And every player that I've talked to, and it's probably been 30 different players, past and present, have said that they believe that there is absolutely an increase in the concussions, certainly in the ability to diagnose them. And so many players are saying, like Harry Carson, that years later, that their ability to function in life afterwards, their memory, their nerves, their ability to sleep, their quality of life has been significantly impaired because they were not carefully taken care of because of their concussions.
I've got 7 documented concussions this season. Not all quarterbacks either. Orlando Pace has one, Michael Boulware. But yeah, usually the majority of the concussions are to the quarterbacks. And until they devise a better helmet, a more padded helmet, I'm not sure how that's going to change. You know, they've basically taken the quarterback out of the mix. He can slide when he runs. It's whistle the sack when he's in the grasp. You know, there's still some kill shots you see from defensive linemen on sack plays. But, again, until they devise a better helmet, I'm not sure how much they can protect him any more than they are.
What would you have done if you were Bill Cowher, knowing that Charlie Batch really has done a very competent role, maybe not quite as good as Damon Hewitt in Kansas City, but certainly a very dependable role? Wouldn't you have played in one more week?
You know, you got doctors are supposed to tell you if a guy's able to play or not. If his doctors told him Roethlisberger's able to play, then, yeah, you know, he's fit and ready to go. You know, it's not just concussions. Look at Dante Culpepper. I mean, that wasn't a concussion. He clearly wasn't ready to come back, as was Roethlisberger, but they played. There's too much money on the line, and these guys are being paid a lot of money to go out and win football games, so there is a tendency to rush them. But most of these guys need the approval. All these guys need the approval from the doctors before they let them back on the field, and obviously Roethlisberger got the approval.
Yeah, well, he did, but to me, the evidence is overwhelming that you've got to be extra careful. And one of the benefits, shifting to a team, we both know a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs and Trent Green's situation with his concussion. They at least have found in Damon Hewitt a guy that is playing as well, maybe even arguably better than Trent Green. What would you do in that situation? Would you basically, let me tell you what I would do. I would play Damon Hewitt for at least another 3 weeks, if not longer.
Well, I would play Damon Hewitt until I was sure Trent Green was ready to come back. And the other side of the coin, Nick, is that here Trent Green's got a concussion. He could be losing his job by staying out. So not only does the team want him back, but he wants to get back on the field to hold on to his job. I wouldn't rush him, certainly, not coming off a concussion, especially if he's had a couple concussions in the last few seasons. I don't know that he has. But Roethlisberger's had 2 concussions now in the last 7 months. You don't want to rush him. But I would take my time. As long as Ewart's playing well, there'd be no rush to get Green back on the field. But I do think Green is a starting quarterback in this team. There's a reason Green was a starter and Ewart was the backup at the start of the year. I don't see that changing.
Well, and you look at his performance when he backed up Dan Marino, who tutored him down there in Miami, winning, I think, what was it, 5 of 6 games, or
right,
if not all of them as well. Did a tremendous job. He's had a number of years to mature since then. He's not very mobile, but neither is Trent Green. Let's talk about
Trent
that.
Green also was Trent Green is also a Pro Bowl quarterback and a 4,000-yard passer. Damon Hewitt has never been there. It's easy to forget about Trent Green because they won a few games, but the bottom line is Trent Green was the better quarterback heading into the season. That's why he was on the field.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely, it's great to have him there, and why not take your time, whether it's 3 weeks, whether it's 5 weeks, to make sure he's absolutely ready. Let's talk about that Seattle Chiefs game, too. Have you ever seen a team in the last couple of weeks like the Chiefs make it so painfully difficult to win the game that play, beginning with the fumbled field goal attempt that looked almost exactly a replica of the Gary Apremian Super Bowl play? Do you think that you've seen many games that have had that kind of crazy ending?
Well, Nick, we remember that 1986 game in Pittsburgh, don't we?
Yes, we do.
That was about as crazy as it got, with those 3 special teams touchdowns to clinch a playoff spot. But let me say this. The game last weekend, looking at the stat sheet, if you told me that a team was going to have 2 100-yard receivers, a running back that rushed for 160 and scored 4 touchdowns, I would think this is going to be about a 21-24, 28-point game. I was surprised at the score when you look at the stat sheet, especially with the other team starting a backup quarterback for a first NFL start.
And then, of course, you move on to Jared Allen, who is, I think, one of the fresh new faces, not only on the Chiefs, but in the NFL. And combining with Tamba Ali, you've got a guy that has created that push up the middle and around the side, that pressure on the quarterback. Jared Allen is a wonderful personality, but here's our friend Len Dawson.
Touchdown. And then Jared Allen plays very well defensively as a defensive end, rushing the passer. Ball is tipped. He catches it. Now, if there's less than 2 minutes to go, if he goes to a knee, Nick, game is over. You know, it's over because Kansas City's up by 7 points. But no, he can't do that. He's a defensive lineman. He has to score a touchdown so he can tell his grandkids and everybody else that he scored a touchdown when he was in the NFL. And so he's running instead of getting out of bounds or going to a knee, you know, protect the football. He's trying to look like a Larry Johnson.
That's Len Dawson. So as even though the Chiefs have found ways to keep these games interesting, ultimately, unlike the Cardinals who missed two key game-winning field goals a few weeks ago and have gone in the tank, the Chiefs have found a way to win, and they're playing with the confidence of having won, which has got to benefit them down the road.
Yeah, I think this is a key game for both of the Missouri teams this week. The Chiefs going to St. Louis. They're both 4-3. They both have playoff hopes, and whoever loses this game is going to have those hopes dimmed a little bit.
When we come back, we're going to talk some more with our good friend Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News about Michael Vick, about Tom Brady, and what on earth he is, the magic that he is performing in New England. And back in the hometown of Rick Goslin, Bill Parcells, the new copter, signer, kinder, softer, gentler Bill Parcells. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games on the Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.